Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And say, what a taste treat you have every morning when there's Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat on the table. Top 'em with milk or thick yellow cream and chilled fruit or sliced bananas. Every crisp, luscious bite has that swell nut-like flavor that hits the spot. For the breakfast treat you'll never want to skip, enjoy delicious Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat. After the death of his wife, Pete Chance had appealed to his older sister, Flora, to become his housekeeper and help him raise his motherless young daughter. For 18 years, Flora had looked after him and Pammy. But in spite of his indebtedness to her, Pete occasionally lost his temper with the tall, vigorous woman. As he watched her carry a bulging carpet bag of bottled remedies aboard his sturdy scow, Pete's lips compressed in a thin line of irritated disapproval.
Lordy! When we reach the States, I'll buy your whole drugstore. But between now and then, you'll not need those medicines, pills, and powders.
A lot of things can happen on a boat trip, Pete. Seasickness, for one.
Seasickness? Now, listen, if you think I can't handle a boat...
For sakes, what's eating you? If your nerves are on edge, I got some medicine that I can
give you. There's not a thing wrong with me that getting underway won't cure.
Hi there, Pete.
Hello, Constable Redmond.
Howdy, Miss Flora.
Good morning, Constable.
I guess you folks are all set to shove off now that the ice is broken.
Well, I waited all week for the ice to melt. Now I'm waiting for Pammy.
Where is she?
You know how women are. Last-minute shoppers, every one of them. Come aboard, Constable.
Thanks.
The constable stepped from the dock to the plank that ran along the sides of the crude but sturdy scow. He walked along the plank and nodded approvingly. The flat-bottomed boat was well-built. It was 42 feet long and 12 feet wide, with steering oars at the bow and stern. Each end was squared, but the sides were sheared up. A mast about 20 feet high was rigged with a large square sail. And in the center of the scow was a deckhouse, with a small sheet iron stove for cooking.
All the comforts of home, eh, Pete?
Yep.
But you're foolish to travel alone. Why not wait a week or so? Freighters will be making the trip downriver, and if you join them, you'll have the safety of numbers.
I'm well armed.
Who'll help you handle the scow?
I'll handle her myself.
Oh, you'll need an experienced riverman, Pete. You'll travel through a lot of dangerous water.
Now, look here.
Pete, now maybe the constable's right.
I've handled scows in all kinds of waters. We'll get through all right if we ever get started. If Roy, you see here.
Where are you going?
To look for Pammy. I'll be back as soon as I find her. You want to come along, Constable?
Sure thing.
As Constable Redmond and Pete Chance climbed to the dock and headed toward the center of the small town of Littleport, two riders emerged from the trees behind the bank building. One of the men was short and thin. His partner was tall and heavy-set. Though their features had not appeared on handbills, both men had police records. They were Slim Carson and Sam Rabat. It was Sam who signaled a halt.
Ho, Sam. You think anyone spotted us?
I told you we wouldn't be seen if we rode through the hills instead of going through town. Now,
easy.
Get over close to the building, tie your bandana over your face.
Right.
Hold your fire while we're in the bank. so's no one outside will know that there's a holdup going on. Do you savvy?
Yeah.
When we're ready to leave the bank, we'll come out this way. And we'll come out shooting. That'll keep the folks off the street, and we'll be able to make a getaway.
Yeah, all right.
You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Meanwhile, Pete Chance and the constable had reached the center of town.
No sign of Pammy on the street.
The trading post is next to the bank, Pete. We'll probably find her there.
I hope so.
Oh, there she is, coming from the trading
post. There she is. Pammy!
Dad! Constable Redmond.
Hello, Pam.
About time we found you. What's in the package?
Oh, a few supplies that Aunt Laura wanted. Anna bought a newspaper and some pencils.
We're overloaded with supplies now. As for newspaper and pencils...
Oh, they'll not take up much room, Dad.
Hey, those shots came from the bank.
Must be a holdup.
Stay back, Pete. You too, Bill.
I have my six gun. I'm coming with you.
As Constable Redmond rushed through the front door of the bank, Slim Carson, who was just inside the rear door, saw him coming. Slim fired. The impact of a bullet in his gun arm sent the policeman staggering back.
Constable Redmond.
Hit me in the arm.
Take it easy. I'll help you.
Get after the crook.
Hey, that horse is out back.
You better stay inside till he stops shooting.
Dad, are you all right?
I'm all right, Pam, but the constable's hit.
Constable, you hit bad?
It's my gun arm, Jim. The crook was standing at the back door as I came in the front.
His partner was already outside.
Were there two of them?
That's right. They both had their faces covered. But I heard the short, thin fellow who shot you call his partner Sam.
Sam, eh?
Yeah. Sam was tall and heavy set. He was the one giving the orders.
Might be Sam Raybat.
Oh, I've heard of him.
So have I.
He's dangerous. Plenty dangerous.
Sam, we're getting out of here. Come on.
All right, Dad.
This bears out what I told you, Pete. It'll be risky for you to travel alone.
If crooks like Sam Raybat can come into town and rob the bank right under the nose of the law, we'll be a whole lot safer on the river.
Sam Raybat and Slim Carson rode at breakneck speed through the hills north of Littleport.
Ho, 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 ho.
Approaching the stream, they slowed their horses to a gradual halt and permitted the animals to drink the cool, clear water.
Yeah, we got away all right, Sam. Well, the best part of the getaway is that we traveled over the ground too hard to show tracks.
At least we're safe this far.
We'll be safe all the way.
I don't know, Sam.
What do you mean?
I plugged the money as I was leaving the bank.
Did you kill him?
I hit him.
Hey, that's bad.
I had no choice. If I hadn't stopped him, he'd have had us before we got out of town.
If you killed him, we'll hang. We better get out of the Yukon.
What about my share of the loot?
We'll divvy it up now. Carry as much as you can in your money belt. From here on, we'll travel in this stream.
This stream empties into the river, Sam.
I know it. That's where we're going.
The two thieves divided the loot, then guided their horses into the rocky stream bed. As the animals picked their way carefully through the shallow water, Sergeant Preston and Yukon King reached the town of Littleport. The policeman was mounted on a black stallion, and as he drew rein and dismounted in front of the trading post, Banker Thompson hurried toward him. Leading the Mountie into the bank, Thompson told of the robbery that had occurred 3 hours earlier.
The constable, the cashier, and the guard were wounded, Sergeant Preston.
How seriously were they hurt?
The cashier and the guard were both hit in the shoulder. They'll stay at the doc's house for a few days while he looks after them.
What about Constable Redmond?
Well, his right arm will be no good for a couple of weeks.
Where's he?
As soon as he was able to mount a horse, he went after the crooks. But I don't know how long he'll be able to stay in the saddle.
You say the thieves went out the back way?
That's right. Their horses were waiting for him.
In that event, King may be able to pick up a scent.
I could see their tracks, Sergeant Preston, so I know King will have no trouble getting the scent. I'll show you where their horses were standing.
All right. Come on, King. Get the scent, King. We want to follow it. Understand, fella?
Has he got us, Sergeant?
I think so, Thompson. I'll get my horse and go after them.
Sergeant Preston returned to the hitch rack in front of the trading post. Picking up the reins, he led his horse to the rear of the bank.
We want to follow those two men, King. Steady, Blackie. Lead the way, boy. Get up, Blackie. Come on now.
Sergeant Preston had traveled only a short distance when he realized that Constable Redmond would have difficulty finding the men who had wounded him. Though King was leading his master into the hills, there were no tracks on the rocky, hard-packed ground to betray the trail of the bank robbers. Meanwhile, Constable Redmond had dismounted. He was studying the ground around him with scrupulous care. Since losing the tracks of the men he sought, his progress had been discouragingly slow. His wounded arm ached with a soreness that seemed to numb his brain. He was hot and tired, but he persisted in his search. He was convinced that the bank robbers were in the hills, heading north. Redman was moving ahead slowly when he heard distant hoofbeats.
There they are. I was right about them being in the hills. Oh, easy, easy, boy. Now we can travel, boy. Straight up the hill. We'll head them off. All right, fella. Get up. Come on. Up, boy. Up. Oh, oh, boy. Oh, there.
As Constable Redman reached the top of the hill, he halted his horse and drew his service revolver. Then he waited at the side of the trail for the rider to come into view. We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, fellas and girls, if you like presents, here's a present you can give your appetite every morning. A heaping bowlful of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice covered with milk or cream and fruit. You know, these ready-to-serve breakfast cereals are... Oh, excuse me a minute while I go to the door. Yes, what... A ghost?
Oh, no, I'm not a ghost.
I must be seeing things.
Not at all. I'm a snowman.
A snowman? Why, so you are. But what on earth are you doing here?
Oh, I get tired of just standing around doing nothing. Couldn't I help you sell Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice?
You mean you want me to give you a job, Mr. Snowman?
Yep, and I'll do a swell job. Because I know all about those swell cereals.
Are you sure?
You bet your life.
Do you know that Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are shot from guns?
I sure do.
Do you know they're exploded up to 8 times normal size? Puffed to perfection so they're crisp and tender?
They just melt in your mouth.
I guess you do know what you're talking about.
And they're full of bang-up nut-like flavor, too.
But say, do you know that Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are nourishing? That they furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron?
Well, sure, everyone knows that.
Well, Mr. Snowman, if you're going to be one of our salesmen, remember always to say, fellas and girls, be sure to look for the big red and blue package with the smiling picture of the Quaker man on the front. Then you'll be sure of getting the original, crisp, fresh, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice. Enjoy this delicious treat tomorrow morning. Now to continue. With his pistol ready for action, Constable Redman was prepared to face Slim Carson and Sam Rabat. He wasn't prepared for the sudden appearance of the great dog King, who stopped on the trail growling a menacing warning. A moment later, Sergeant Preston appeared.
Hello, King. Hello, Hunter.
Sergeant Preston?
Hello, Redman. Steady, King. Quiet, boy.
Doggone glad to see you. But you're the last man in the world I expected to find riding through these hills. King, old boy, how are you? Oh, I see. Now that I've holstered my gun, you'll say hello. Is that it?
How's your arm, Constable?
Oh, it'll be all right in a couple of weeks. Right now, I can't use it, but... Have you come from Littleport?
Yes.
And you know about the robbery?
Thompson told me all about it. King and I were following the bank robbers, and you stopped us.
I lost their trail a couple of hours ago.
King's following their scent.
Good.
Perhaps it'd be better if you went back to town.
Because of my arm? Not in your life, Sergeant. Now that you and King have taken over, I'll tag along. It'll give me a great deal of satisfaction to see those two crooks in handcuffs. Lead the way. I'll follow you.
All right. Go ahead, King. Come on, Blackie.
Up. Hit it.
It was several hours later when Sam Rabat and his partner Slim left the stream they'd been following. The ground underfoot was studded with jagged rock. The two men gave the horses their heads as they made their way downhill to the banks of the big river.
Hey, Sam.
What?
Stop here and listen.
Ho, there.
Sounds like someone's building something.
Yeah, they're down below on the riverbank.
Maybe we'd better investigate before we bust in on them.
Good idea. Hit the ground.
Right. Easy.
We'll go the rest of the way on foot.
The two men approached the riverbank cautiously. As the trees ahead thinned, they saw two Indians kneeling on the ground beside a large raft built of logs.
Hey, Sam, look.
A raft with oars and everything.
Just what we need.
Yeah. Come on, but be careful. We don't want to make any noise.
What are we going to do?
Sneak up behind those Indians. We'll crack them on the head and then tie them. Then take the raft and be on our way downriver.
The two thieves succeeded in surprising the Indians. They took the raft and headed downriver. Carried by the swift current, they traveled in silence for several hours. Rounding a difficult turn in the river, they saw Pete Chance's scow ahead. At the sight of the boat, Slim turned to his partner and shouted,
"Hey, Sam, look ahead. There's a boat.
Hey, look out for your oar. Look, grab it, you jughead.
I can't. It's gone.
We need it for steering.
It's out of reach, I tell you.
Ah, we'll be swept ashore."
From the stern of the scow, Pam and her Aunt Flora watched the struggles of the man on the raft. Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston and Constable Redmond had found the two horses the outlaws abandoned. The Indians told the policeman how they'd been struck on the head and tied hand and foot by unknown assailants.
Here are their tracks, Sergeant. See where they shoved the raft into the water?
Two crooks not look very far. Them not no police bateau hidden in cove. Make better time in bateau than raft.
He's right, Sergeant.
A police bateau is near here?
Yes, it's in the cove ahead. The Indians keep it in repair and ready for use at any moment.
We'll get it and head downriver. Come on.
A short time later, after leaving their horses with the Indians, the constable, Sergeant Preston, and the great dog King were headed downriver in the tapering, light, flat-bottom boat that was especially adapted for use on the river. Neither of the Mounties knew that the raft had been smashed on rocks near shore, and that Sam and Slim, still clutching their saddlebags, managed to stay afloat by clinging to a log. Standing on a plank at the side of his scow, Pete Chance threw them a rope, while Pammy handled the steering oar in the bow, and her aunt tried to manage the oar sweep in the stern.
Grab a hold of the rope and I'll haul you aboard.
Yeah, we'll drive.
Pete, do you think it's safe to take them on board?
They're in trouble, aren't they? Unless we take them aboard, they'll drown.
But the constable said it'd be dangerous. They're strangers.
The constable likewise said I'd need help to handle this scow, and he was right. We'll make better time with a couple extra hands for a crew.
You go first.
All right, give me your hands, stranger. I'll get you out of that river.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you. Let me get your hand. That's it. Here you are. We saw your raft hit the rocks.
For pity's sake, Pete, come and take over this oar. Pammy and I are worn out trying to handle them.
Sure thing, Flora. You gents sit down and get your bread. My name's Pete Chance. This is my daughter and my sister.
Glad to know you folks. My name's Sampson. Jim Sampson. My partner's name is Jones.
Howdy.
Howdy, too.
Pammy's sharp ears had caught Sam Raybat's hesitation at the name Sam and his quick recovery as he smoothly introduced himself and his partner. In spite of her suspicions, she smiled to herself when her aunt spoke to the two newcomers.
You two are likely to catch your death of cold after being in the river. But I got some medicine in my carpet bag
These
that'll take care.
These gents can do without that terrible tasting stuff, Flora.
I was only trying to be helpful.
You need any help handling this scow, Mr. Chance?
Yes, I sure do.
Well, then I'll give you a hand. My partner's sort of worn out after our swim.
Then let him sit in the deckhouse with the ladies and rest a while.
Do you have any extra clothing in your saddlebag, Mr. Jones?
Clothing? No, I haven't.
Well, I'll empty the saddlebag for you. That way your things will dry.
Leave that saddlebag alone.
For my sakes, there's no need to bite Pam's head off.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Oh, well, that's all right. Had you built the raft yourselves?
No, a couple of Indians built it. We swapped our horses for it.
That's too bad. Looks like the Indians got the best of the bargain.
You're right about that. We'd be better off if we stayed in the saddle, but Sam said we'd be better...
What did you say?
I said Sam, my partner, working the steering oar with your dad. He's...
Sam?
Oh, yeah, he... Well, what I mean is Mr. Sampson. That's his name.
You said Sam.
Well, I call him Sam for short.
The girl had been in the bank when the two robbers were described. She knew that the short, thin man had shot the constable, and that his tall, heavy-set partner was named Sam. The descriptions fitted the newcomer.
Oh, my sakes, Pammy, what's wrong, child? You look like you're going to faint.
I'm all right, Aunt Flora.
I'll get some smelling salts. Maybe it's seasickness.
No, I'll be all right. If you'll excuse me, Mr. Jones, I think I'll sit back in the stern.
Oh, sure thing.
You just reach back into my carpet bag if you want the smelling salts, dear. A spirits of ammonia is there, too.
Constable was hit just as he went through the door.
I see. Was the constable killed?
Nope. The bullet hit him in his gun arm. I reckon he's out looking for the bank robbers now.
Well, if their faces were covered, he'll have a hard time finding them.
He knows who to look for.
He does.
Yeah, the short, skinny one called his partner Sam. The constable figures he's Sam Raybat, the outlaw.
Hey, Sam. The lady's fixing me some grub. You want some?
Now shut up.
All right, if you're not hungry.
What did he call you?
Oh, he called me Sam.
You see, my name's Samson, and, well, he calls me Sam for short.
Yeah?
Well, what are you looking at?
You. The man who shot the constable was short and skinny, just like your partner. You're tall and heavy set, like Sam Raybet.
Why, you...
That gun.
Yeah. This gun says you're right. But you made a mistake.
Wait a minute.
Sam, what's the idea of the gun?
Hold your gun on the women while I take care of this critter.
Sure thing.
They're gonna rob us. They're robbers, all right. I knew it as soon as the man named Jones called his partner Sam.
Tie the hands and feet, Slim.
Right.
My smell is so...
Keep quiet. Later, I'll throw you overboard.
When you finish tying him, Slim, put ropes on this gent here.
We can throw them all in the river.
No, I just found out the Mountie you shot's still alive. And as long as I'm in charge, there'll be no murders. Now hurry up and get him tied.
Traveling in the bateau, Sergeant Preston and Constable Redmond had sighted the wreckage of the raft and had moved close to shore to inspect the debris.
Looks like the river's taken care of those crooks, Sergeant. They must have gone down.
Perhaps not.
You think they made it to shore?
Well, they might have.
If we're going to look for them, we'd better do it now. It'll soon be dark.
Which side of the river do you want to search?
They might be on either side.
Oh, they might have stayed afloat by clinging to a log.
Hey, you're steering to the right.
Yes.
Why?
I see something caught in an eddy near those rocks.
What is it?
A bottle. Medicine bottle. Must have been swept out of the current towards shore.
I suppose someone lost it.
A piece of newspaper inside of it. Someone emptied the bottle, put the newspaper inside, and uncorked it.
Well, let's see the paper.
I'll smash the bottle with my gun. It'll be a lot easier than trying to work the paper through the narrow opening. There.
Seems to me someone went to a great deal of trouble to preserve a newspaper clipping.
It's more than a clipping, Constable. See here.
It's a note.
Written on a piece of newspaper.
What does it say?
Help. Signed Pam Chance.
Pam?
You know her?
Yes. She and her father and her aunt left town in a scow right after the bank robbery.
That scow must be ahead of us.
Let's hope we reach it before dark.
It may be better if we reach it after dark.
Sergeant Preston resumed his rowing. The two policemen sighted the running lights of the scow shortly after dark.
There it is ahead.
Tied up at shore for the night.
There's a lantern lit in the deckhouse.
I see two men on the far side. I was aboard Pete's scow this morning, Sergeant. I'd recognize it anywhere.
And that's it?
Yes. But I don't see the ladies of Pete.
Well, let's hope they're still alive.
Shall we board her, Sergeant?
Yes, if we're able to come alongside without being seen.
We're lucky there's no moon.
Handling the small boat with practiced skill, the sergeant drew alongside of the scow without being noticed. Fastening a rope to the planking, he swung himself to the deck. A moment later, the great dog King leaped to his side. Making no more noise than shadows, they moved along next to the narrow railing. Preston saw three figures on the floor of the deckhouse. They were bound and gagged.
Hey, what's going on back there? It's probably Pete trying to get loose.
Well, you better go back and make sure his ropes are tight.
They're tight.
Make sure they are.
All right.
As Slim left the bow to go to the deckhouse, Sergeant Preston shouted,
"Stand where you are, you're covered!"
Hey,
in the lantern light coming from the deckhouse, Slim saw the red tunic, striped trousers, and polished boots.
The money.
Throwing caution to the winds, Slim grabbed for his gun. King charged. Constable Redmond opened fire from the bateau, and Preston shouted,
"Hold your fire, Constable!"
The force of King's charge threw Slim to the deck, where he lay motionless as King stood over him. Preston hadn't taken his eyes from the man in the bow of the boat. He knew Sam would try to take advantage of the momentary confusion, and he was right. Sam's right hand moved like a striking snake. As his gun cleared leather, Preston's bullet smashed the weapon.
King has the other one, Sergeant.
Come aboard, Constable. We'll handcuff these two crooks, then free the prisoners.
A short time later, Pete, his sister, and daughter were freed. They told the policeman what had happened, and Pammy explained the bottled note.
You see, I suspected they were crooks, but I didn't know what to do about it. So when I was alone in the rear of the scow, I emptied Aunt Flora's medicine bottles and stuffed them with the notes. I threw at least a dozen bottles overboard.
We found one, Pammy, and as soon as we read your note, we knew where to look for Sam and his partner.
That's the first time your dispensary served a good purpose, Flora.
Aren't you glad I brought it along?
I sure am. And I'm glad those two crooks didn't know we were carrying gold.
They had plenty of stolen gold and cash without taking yours, Pete.
Then you found the bank cash, eh?
Yes. Saddlebags and money belts.
You'd have never found it if Sam hadn't talked.
I talked because when the judge finds out that you shot a Mountie, things are going to go hard with you, Slim. I figured by turning state's evidence, we'd get a lighter sentence.
You may have outsmarted yourself.
Constable, how's your arm?
Fine, Pammy.
Oh, you certainly had a busy day. Why don't you come over here, Constable, and I'll make you some tea.
Of course.
Oh, the constable and Pammy make a fine-looking couple, don't they, Pete? I wish I were young again. Goodness knows the setting's romantic enough. Don't you think so, Sergeant Preston?
Well, I think the setting's peaceful, Miss Flora, now that this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Say, at breakfast at your house, does Mother have to be a sort of short-order expert like this?
Say, can't I have some breakfast cereal that isn't so terribly sweet?
Gee, Mom, I'd like my breakfast cereal real sweet this morning.
Well, I don't want mine sweet at all.
Now, the way to solve that problem is to serve everybody delicious Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Yes, everybody agrees there's nothing like the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural grain.
Everybody likes the sun-ripened, natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it.
It's never coated with factory sweetening.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
Your whole family, Dad, Mom, the youngsters, can sweeten them with sugar or use no sugar at all. Whichever way suits their own special taste.
And don't forget, there's added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron in every spoonful your family eats.
So be sure that you have on your breakfast table tomorrow morning, for everybody to reach for, a package of delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. For a delightful treat everybody likes to eat.
They come only in the big red and blue package with a sealed inner lining that keeps them crisp as can be. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, there's a madman or a heartless criminal on the loose in the territory. He's a poisoner, and we must get him.
Poisoner, sir?
Yes. He's poisoning wild animals and making no effort to trap them. This thing is allowed to spread. It may mean the death of every wild animal between here and the Arctic Circle.
Our people need those animals and their pelts, Inspector.
If they're going to survive, yes. And if you're going to survive, Sergeant, you'd better be prepared to face death yourself. This man is dangerous.
Sergeant Preston starts out to find a heartless man who poisons the helpless animals of the wild. But his trail leads to humans who suffer from the deadly criminal. And finally, Preston faces death himself. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals, shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pak-O-Ten. You'll be glad you did. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health. From Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.